My next guest is Harry Witten, head of ETF sales trading at Old Mission Capital, who's a market maker with specialized expertise in the ETF space, one of the largest on-screen liquidity providers out there. And Harry is now on the line with me from New York. Harry, welcome to the podcast. This took way too long.
Hey, Nate. Yeah, thanks for having me. I guess, as they say, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, you know, it's so funny.
To be here.
You and I have chatted so many times before, but somehow this is your first ETF Prime appearance. This is going to be a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to this. So, look, first, just explain to everyone what Old Mission Capital does, especially as it relates to the ETF market.
So, Old Mission Capital, we are a market maker. Our core competency is market making ETFs. We've been doing it for over a decade. And as you mentioned before, for years, I've been one of the largest on-screen liquidity providers, which means when someone goes out and looks at the screens and they see a bid and an offer, there's a good chance that Old Mission is putting out that price there. So you could be trading with us some way, shape, or form, and you never even knew it. And besides ETFs, we are ADR market maker and options market maker, and we actually also do some bond trading.
So on that ETF market making, if I'm a larger institutional investor and I need to execute a sizable ETF trade, just to be clear, I can come to Old Mission Capital and theoretically I'm going to get better pricing, better execution. Is that fair?
You could come to Old Mission and we will work with you. As we like to say, we're consultative. So we will work with you and tell you the different ways you can trade. That could be anywhere from a risk trade where we give you a price right away to maybe there might be other opportunities that you haven't thought about when it comes to working the trade through the market. There's very many different ways that people can trade an ETF, and we will work with you on that. So, yeah, we trade with pension plans and insurance companies, large ETF model makers. We even work with the issuers. We pretty much will trade with anybody that touches an ETF.
Well, and I think as you were alluding to earlier, you also provide liquidity for the major custodians as well, right? The Schwabs and Fidelities of the world?
Correct. So Old Mission, like other market makers are out there, we work with all of the ETF trading desks at those firms to provide liquidity. So they will come into us and we will talk to them and we will work with them on trading any ETF that's out there. We make markets in all. I think it's 2,525 ETFs right now, and we make markets in all of them.
Well, on that note, I know you work closely with the ETF issuers to really better understand their products, which then I assume that helps ensure higher quality execution on trades. What does that process look like in terms of partnering with issuers and really getting a good handle on what they're doing?
So when it comes to working with the issuers, we work with them in many different ways. And the most basic way is when they launch a product, we hopefully make sure that they let us know that they're launching a product so we can have a price day one for anybody who's looking to trade it. We work with them whenever there's a change in the product. And market makers get files to look at the holdings. And if we see a discrepancy, we'll reach out to the issuer and say, hey, is this right? Sometimes we pick things up that they're not aware of, or vice versa. They're telling us there was a change and make sure that we're aware of it. It's a constant all-day conversation. And when it comes to the bond funds specifically, we work with them on the creation redemption process and you know, their in-kind baskets. And our traders are working with them all day long to make sure these baskets are done properly. There's a lot of communication between us and the issuers.
Can you talk a little bit more about the importance of high-quality execution, particularly for some of the more illiquid ETFs out there, perhaps a new ETF coming to market. Talk about why that's so important in the ETF space.
Well, I think, you know, especially on a new product, there's still a little bit of an unknown. You know, when someone's, you know, we always hear the story, I'm not going to touch that ETF because there's no volume in it. Well, right then and there, that's the perfect opportunity to call a market maker. They can tell you where it's going to trade compared to what you're seeing out on the screens, why it's going to trade that, and you know, it's something you really shouldn't be afraid of, because anything can be traded. It's just a matter of, you know, the communication and talking through the trade and what's best for the client and or if you are the end client for you.
As ETFs have continued to grow and there's been this rotation away from mutual funds and into ETFs, have you seen a tightening of spreads and you know, better execution quality just with more interest in the ETF market overall?
Yes. I think what's amazing is, you know, there's these systems out there called RFQ, or we crest for quote. Tradeweb has one, Bloomberg has one. We're on both of them as a market maker. And it's amazing not only how tight the trades go up, but how large the trade goes up. I mean, we see $200-$300 million trades that go up, you know, a penny over what you see on the screens. It's the pricing has gotten much, much tighter. It's really, really amazing to see just in the last 5 years.
Okay, before we move on here, because I have some fun ETF questions for us to get to, for smaller ETF investors, so just everyday retail investors or financial advisors, given everything that you've seen over the years, can you offer a few trading tips? I know everyone preaches using limit orders. What's most important when buying or selling ETFs?
I think what's most important, like we talked about, you know, old mission trades for the custodians, is call your custodian. I mean, your custodian has really good people on their trading desks, and you can reach out to them, and they in turn will reach out to us. So a lot of people just don't take advantage of that. It doesn't cost anything to call these people. That would probably be number one to do. If you have any questions whatsoever, call your trading desk at the custodian.
Okay.
Whether you're a retail or an institutional client.
Well, what if it's a retail investor who maybe isn't comfortable taking that approach? I mean, are there some basic things that they should do? Again, I mean, should they always use limit orders? Does it depend on the exposure, times of day to put in trades, anything along those lines?
Well, I think a limit order always makes sense, especially on new products. I know some custodians, when you look to go trade a new product, the hot product of the day, they make you put a limit order on, which I think is great now. It used to not be that way. I also think, you know, you probably heard this a lot, stay away from the open. You know, let these products open up, you know, because the ETF is only opening based on what's inside the ETF. So if there's a bunch of stocks that haven't opened up yet, the ETF is going to be wide, then it'll tighten up. So it's always best to, you know, as we say, 9:45 or after. You know, those market on open trades could be trouble. I'd stay away from those. That's probably the two biggest things. Or three biggest things.
I know sometimes, I know sometimes you'll hear this narrative that the deck is stacked against retail investors when trading. Is there anything to that? I mean, any insight you can offer here? Is that a non-issue in the ETF world?
I think it's a non-issue. We give the same pricing to whether it's a retail investor or an institutional investor.
Okay.
All right. It's all the same to us.
Harry, with our remaining time here, what I thought might be fun, again, is just given how connected you are in the ETF space, which, by the way, I set you up big time at the top of the podcast, so I've set a really high bar for you here. But what I thought we might do is go rapid fire through some different topics, and I'll just tee these up, and we can bat them around a little. So let's start high level, and I'll continue with my poor baseball metaphors here. What inning of growth are ETFs in right now?
I would say third.
Okay, and what do you base that on?
They're still young. I mean, we're going to start seeing all the mutual fund issuers come into the game now with these conversions. I think it was just announced this week. Dimensional is going to move four funds over out of the mutual fund into an ETF wrapper in June. That other fund group did it a couple weeks ago, so you're going to start seeing that. See more of these old school mutual fund companies enter. I think you're going to see more and more in the retirement plan space. I'm a big fan of the retirement plan space. I think ETFs are going to get in there deeper and deeper. I think that'll really help. If you think about it, a huge ton of assets in the mutual fund space are in retirement plans. So I think that'll really help. So I still think we're early to the game. Still early to the game. And you're hearing more and more users coming out. So
on a similar note, you see just about everything that's happening in the world of ETFs. I'm curious, what has you most excited moving forward? And this can be a broader takeaway or something more product specific. What are you most excited about?
I think the most exciting thing and the thing to watch is these mutual fund fund companies coming in. I'm really curious as to what they're going to do. I mean, a couple have already put their toe into the water a few years ago. You know, you think about PIMCO, they're really a mutual fund company. They've been around in the space for a long time. BlackRock, obviously, as we all know, has a huge mutual fund company. But, you know, you have American Funds, you have, we just talked about Dimensional, and all these other fund groups that are looking to come into the ETF space. So I think that's going to be really, really interesting to watch.
And do you think the catalyst there is the mutual fund to ETF conversions along with the semi or non-transparent wrapper? I mean, is that the reason why these mutual fund companies are getting involved? Or do you expect to see just more straightforward, transparent ETF launches?
I think it's going to be a lot of it's going to be transparent. And I think, you know, that you're looking at the tax benefits, you're looking at the overall costs. It's just easier to, distribute an ETF, I think, in the long run. And that's what they're all finding. And it's where the market's going. I mean, I'm not saying anything out of hand here when we look at the flows.
All right. Given what Old Mission does, your firm really sees all sorts of new ETFs trying to make it in a highly competitive industry. You have an interesting perch. And we know how competitive the space is, right? It's the terror dome, as Bloomberg's Eric Balchunas calls it. I'm curious, what do you think the recipe for success is? How does an ETF survive this?
I think, you know, I actually come from a different background, even though I've been an ETF for years, but I originally was in the distribution side. And a lot of people forget, and when we talk to new issuers, they forget the ETFs have to be sold. So it's all about distribution. Yeah, you need to be forefront and upfront and get the distribution going. That's where you're going to be successful. You can have the greatest ETF in the world, but if you have new distribution, nobody's going to know about it. You need to get the word out there. They don't sell themselves. I think that is the most important thing.
How does an upstart ETF issuer do that? I mean, that's clearly a challenge. I mean, any suggestions on which route they head to get that distribution?
That is the $10 million question. Yeah, it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. It's when it comes to being distribution, you have the old traditional way of wholesalers, which all these new mutual fund companies coming into the ETF space have these armies of wholesalers, which I think overall will help ETFs. But it's very difficult. It's getting the shelf space. I wish I could give you a good answer, but I don't have one.
All right. Overall here, I feel like we've done a little bit of ETF cheerleading. And so I thought we should be balanced. What do you see as the biggest challenge facing ETFs right now? What gives you concern?
I still think it's education. I mean, it still has to deal with education and people, you know, as we touched on it before, how to trade these things. People still don't understand. We see it a lot. You know, somebody writes an article in Barron's over the weekend, and then on Monday you see a whole slew of market orders and whatever symbol was mentioned in the paper. Not the best thing. So people still need education on how to trade these things because they are a tradable product. It's not like a mutual fund where it just happens to price at the end of the day.
Who do you think that responsibility falls on? Is it the issuers? Is it regulators? Is it everyone in the ETF ecosystem? Who should take the lead on ETF education?
I think everybody. Everybody. Should just be part of everybody's presentation.
Okay. All right, Harry, lastly, before I let you go, I think you already know what I'm going to hit you with here. Give me your thoughts on a Bitcoin ETF. I'm nearly positive we'll see one approved at some point this year. Do you like this? Do you not like this? Any other hot takes?
I'll just put out what I told you, Nate. I mean, there was, I think 9 Bitcoin ETFs filed 4 years ago or so, something along those lines. And market makers were ready to price them then. If a Bitcoin ETF comes out this year, Old Mission will be ready to price it. We don't have any problem with it. It's just a matter of, you know, all regulatory approval. Because there's other products that come out. We learn how to price them as fast as possible. So from the market maker standpoint, we're ready for it.
Do you have any opinion on why the SEC has been so slow to approve a Bitcoin ETF?
I just think it's like anything. They're just taking their time. Nobody wants to be on the wrong side of it. And it's all about regulations. There's always a lot of news about Bitcoin and hacking and stuff like that. You just need to be careful. Makes sense. Makes sense to me.
Well, I still think, like I said, we'll see one here later this year. And it's good to know that you're ready and standing by to price the thing efficiently. But Harry, this was a lot of fun. We'll definitely have to do this again. Thank you for joining me this week.
Thanks a lot, Nate. I'll talk to you soon.
That was Harry Witten, head of ETF sales trading at Old Mission Capital.